from executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High hopes. Streaming 420 on Hulu.
Shut up, camera, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP at noon today. You got another chance to win $1,000. So make sure you're tuned at noon. Also, the King, Howard Askin, who had some not so kind things to say about me 2 days ago on this very station when he was a guest of Joe Giglio. He was just ripping into me. We'll dig into the King coming up at noon today. Thursdays with the King. Howard Askin joins us in half an hour. All right, let's go out on the Sports Colton guest line. If you're injured at work, get justice. Call Sports Colton at 800-JUSTICE. Haven't talked to him in a long time. Does a fantastic job covering the 76ers for The Athletic. And we turn our attention to Mr. Derek Bodner to talk some 76ers ball. What's going on, Derek?
Not much. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Wonderful to have you on the program. All right, Derek, let me ask you the same question that John and I just asked John. Both he and I had just addressed in the last half hour. Then we'll get into specifics. But at this stage, it's January the 17th, a little over half the NBA season has been played. Your just overall evaluation of the 76ers in the present and what it means moving forward. The Derek Bodner answer is what to what the 76ers are.
I think they are still unknown, which is a weird thing to say about a team that has three talented players, but I think they're still learning how to fit with each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think if you look at the pure numbers, since the Jimmy Butler trade, they're, I think, the sixth best offense in the league. You would think they have an identity, but I think a lot of people want to see them prove that against the league's best defenses. And defensively, they've struggled, and they don't have the depth necessary. They don't have the perimeter defenders to compete, I think, in the playoffs, and at least in terms of getting to an NBA Finals, what everyone's goal is. So I think they're still very much unknown.
This chemistry, is it developable this season? Like, how long should we expect this is going to take?
Yeah, I mean, so chemistry, in-season trades, I think, are tough. And I think if you look through NBA history, a lot of teams who make a trade in-season don't then go on to win an NBA championship. Mm-hmm. I think integrating an all-star or better caliber player is difficult to do mid-season. I mean, it is, I think, probably the biggest thing I learned when I started covering this league. It's just how few practices they actually have in the middle of the season.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
They have had maybe like seven practices since Jimmy Butler arrived 2 months ago. It is a staggeringly low number. And overhauling your offense, just getting on the same page, getting the reads, getting the movements, getting the cuts, it takes some time. So I think it's going to be a struggle. You know, I think this test should help them. But you also have to ask, you know, is Jimmy Butler the type of personality where there's always, you know, maybe you put him in more pick and rolls, maybe you put him in more isolations, and maybe he just then finds the next thing that isn't perfect in his world. And I think that's why him being on his team, trading for Jimmy Butler is, I think, a much smarter move than signing Jimmy Butler, because they can now determine how much of that is truth and how much of that is his prior reputation.
But, of course, if they don't retain him and they lose him without trading him again, then they really lose value. I mean, it's like they just gave away, you know, Dario and Covington.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they would go into next summer with a lot of cap room, I think like $50+ million, but you are then relying on that cap room to replace Dario and Covington. It is a risk for sure.
Derek, would you agree? I'm going to make a statement. Tell me if you agree or disagree. The fundamental problem amongst the great players on the 76ers, the fundamental problem, is that Ben Simmons' inability or unwillingness to shoot really affects their offense in a negative way dramatically. Agree or disagree?
I think that is the thing they have to correct. I think that is the easiest way to make this work. Yeah, for sure. And against the better defenses, you know, we look at it a lot, and Jimmy Butler, you know, people want to get more out of Jimmy Butler offensively. And you look at him and his numbers aren't quite there. When you split it, when he's on the court with Embiid, when he's not on the court with Embiid, he looks like the old Jimmy Butler without Embiid on the court. And he looks like basically Robert Covington when he's on the court with Joel Embiid. I think a big part of that is it's hard to put him in a pick and roll when you have Ben Simmons off the ball, who can't force anyone to defend him. And I think the way they tried to hide that, they put him right on the baseline. Basically, they call it a dunker spot because he's there for a dump-off pass for a dunk. But I think that hurts their spacing. And I don't think there's an easy way to overcome that. So I think, yes, they need to get Ben Simmons, not even for his own score. You don't need him to be a scorer in the half court. You don't need him to be a traditional pick-and-roll point guard. You do need him to be able to space the floor so that when, you know, Jimmy Butler is running a pick-and-roll, he's not harming that.
So what do his teammates really think of Jimmy Butler? Is he a problem? Is he admired? Do they appreciate his point of view and his fire? And then, I guess, similarly, what do they really think of Ben Simmons? I mean, is there trouble in the locker room?
So I think all of what you said could be true. And I think with a guy like Jimmy Butler, it probably is all true. I think most people will appreciate his desire, his dedication towards winning. It really is what drives him. I think also the way he goes about addressing that and the way he goes about confrontation could also wear on you over time. So I don't think it's an either or at all. Like, I think there's probably respect, and over time, certainly in his last two spots, there's also been annoyance. And we'll see how that develops over time. Like, I don't want to say that they are out on Jimmy Butler, but it is, I mean, his track record says it's something to watch. Well, in terms of Ben Simmons, I think the concern over schism between Embiid and Simmons, I don't think it's something you worry about, because at any time that can fester, like, that has drastic consequences. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they dislike each other. I do think it's probably fair to say that they're not closest friends, but that's not always required.
Is Joel the league's best center?
Oh, yeah. I mean, some people will nitpick over how you want to talk about Anthony Davis. I think Anthony Davis would call himself a power forward, so I'll call him a power forward. Mm-hmm. But I think Joel Embiid does more on the defensive side of the court anyway. Yeah, I think Joel's the league's best center.
Is this young bench going to be good enough?
No.
So we need to add?
That's really where, if you're looking at the trade deadline and the buyout market, that's where they have to address this bench as constituted. I mean, they're relying on three players right now. Furkan Korkmaz, who's essentially a rookie. He played a little bit last year, missing time with the Liz Frank injury, but basically a rookie. Jonah Bolden, Landry Shamet, these are rookies, guys with no NBA experiences, who also have deep flaws in their game and are really basically one-trick ponies, especially with Shamet and Korkmaz. They rely on them. They need more bench help.
And sure. Derek, let's do the obligatory fault question. Where is he? What is going on? What is the timetable? And even if he gets cleared,
does he get moved before the trade
deadline?
Does he get moved?
Do you even want him in a rotation? Is he back to being the 12th guy on the bench that doesn't play? Like, what in the hell happens then?
It's a great question, Joe. I am not sure. He is still working towards that rehab. In terms of an update, I don't have one for you. They haven't provided one. In terms of what they do, even if he was cleared to come back, I don't have a good answer for that, too, because it's a very difficult situation. Like, none of us know how that jump shot looks. And without that knowledge, and none of us will then know how that jump shot will look when he's hounded by defenders and put in real five-on-five basketball play. And until those questions are answered, it's just, I'm guessing.
No, I get it.
What's the vibe, though, that you feel coming from the other guys? I mean, have his teammates just basically dismissed him?
I don't think he's on the top of anyone's mind right now. I think that's probably fair to say. I think this team has enough going on in terms of the upcoming schedule, in terms of fitting those three personalities together, making it work, that the Jimmy Butler kind of experience, the acquisition, the immediate play, the fit, and then the film session stuff has sort of dominated the conversation in that regard. I don't think Markel is at the top of anyone's mind right now.
All right, Derek. Well, we look forward over the next many months talking to you all the time, because obviously, you know, we'll be talking tons of Sixers hoops. We're hoping that, hey, look, they're a good team. And I hate to skew negative in commentary, but we knew they were going to be a good team. The question wasn't good. The question was great. And they're not a great team. And that's why it's aggravating, especially after, you know, 3 or 4 years of tanking. And the hope and promise of what the process represented as a possible, you know, thing at the end of the line. And, of course, they're not at the end of the line, but it's not looking so hot right now. Derek, we look forward to talking to you about it over the next many months, man.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Derek.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High Hopes. Streaming 420 on Hulu.